This is going to be one of those fireside chats tonight. I start these messages saying I'm not going to preach. I'm going to talk to you out of God's Word and out of my heart. By way of introducing the message tonight, I'd like to make about five or six comments. This life is subject to many storms. It's subject to many storms from within and from without. First of all, there are mysterious disturbances within. And these cause the most dreadful confusion of mind. The terrible part about it is we can't explain them. Someone explained them this way, these mysterious disturbances within. He said, they are winds whose directions are uncertain, shaking, disturbing everything. And most of the time, we can't even determine the cause of these storms. All that we know is that they are there. Now, they may be physical. They may be emotional. They may be spiritual. They may be even circumstantial. But they are so real. And they're the most difficult to deal with. When these mysterious inward disturbances occur, we're unhappy and we don't know why we're unhappy. We are distressed and we don't know why we're distressed. We are discouraged and we want to give up and we don't know why we're discouraged. David went through something like this, I found in Psalm 77. I want you to turn with me to these scriptures. I'm talking first of all about the storms inwardly, mysterious, disturbing within. Winds, as the writer said, that come from an uncertain direction, but they shake everything. David went through this. He said in Psalm 77, verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times, and I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? These are mysterious distresses, mysterious storms and disturbances that occur within, unexplainable, but they're real. And then secondly, there are storms of spiritual distress. We know where these come from, and they're very real. They come from unbelief. We go through periods of unbelief, through periods of doubt and fear, through periods of doubting our interest in Christ and doubting our relationship with Christ. We go through periods of when natural passions are unchecked and when thoughts are uncontrolled and when wrong desires dominate and control. I think Paul is describing that in Romans 7, if you'll turn with me there. Romans chapter 7. He says in verse 18, Romans 7, verse 18, I know, Romans 7, 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. And by a law, he means here something that is continually with me, something that is definitely established, something that cannot be questioned. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. And my growth in grace and my knowledge of Christ doesn't overshadow this conflict as I thought it would. These are spiritual storms and spiritual distresses because of unbelief, because of wrong desire, because of unchecked passions, because of uncontrolled thoughts. We go through these storms of doubt and spiritual distress, and we have to say with the Apostle Paul, I find then a rule that when I would do good, evil is always and continually present with me. And then there are storms of attacks from human enemies. Nearly all of God's children experience this type of storm, this type of tempest. That is, attacks from human enemies, especially you men and women who work and have to associate with unbelievers and associate with people who do not believe God and who do not love His Word. People outside the kingdom of God harass you, and they slander and they mock your gospel and mock your faith and mock the message that you believe, and they criticize. In Psalms 55, David experienced this. In Psalms 55, verse 1, listen to this. Give ear to my prayer, O God, Psalms 55:1, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, and don't many of you feel this way sometimes, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. I'd just fly away from all this. I'd just be lifted up with the wings of a dove and just leave the whole thing, all of the slander and harassment and mocking and criticism and fault-finding. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, they hated me without a cause. And marvel not, my brethren, if they hate you, for the servant is not above his Lord. If they hate the master of the house, they'll hate the servant too. Another type of storm through which some of you have recently gone, through which I have gone, through which all of you will go, and those who live the longest have to go through the valley the most. And that's the storm of losing loved ones and those who are very, very close to you. Indescribable storms, indescribable agonies and tempests, best described by David in 2 Samuel. Listen to him here, and I never read this passage of Scripture without almost weeping. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, Absalom, you know, the young man with ambition, had tried to take the throne away from his father, and he had been slain. And they came to tell David about the death of Absalom. And this is what occurred in 2 Samuel 18, verse, beginning with verse 31. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. Now watch this verse. And the king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, Would God I had died for thee, Absalom, my son, my son. These storms of the loss, the bereavement, the sorrow, the deep agony through which some of you have passed of losing loved ones, these are storms that we must bear. And then there are storms in the home. I wish I could give you some illustration, but I don't want to put it on tape. And these messages are being taped. But family distress, conflict between husband and wife, conflict between children and parents that are so grievous to be borne. Turn to Genesis 42. I think a scripture that describes this would be the words of Jacob. Jacob had such heartache from his sons. He had 12 sons, and practically every one of them at one time or other brought him great distress and sorrow. He said in Genesis 42, beginning with verse 36. Let's begin with verse 36. You know, they'd come back and told him that Simeon, I believe it was Simeon, they kept down there in down in Egypt, and now they wanted to take Benjamin, and Joseph was already, he thought, dead. In verse 36 of Genesis 42, and Jacob their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you'll take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I'll bring him to thee again. And Jacob said, my son Benjamin shall not go down to Egypt with you, for his brother is dead, and he's left alone. And if mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. In verse 14 of the next chapter, Genesis 43, verse 14, he finally decided to let Benjamin go with him, but he said in verse 14 of Genesis 43, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother in Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And these are storms that some of you have borne and are bearing and will bear. These are storms. Storms in the home. Tempest with family and children. What touches their lives touches your heart. And then there's the storms that we must bear. Some of us are strangers to this. Some of you are not. And that is the storm of sickness and loss of health. Turn to Isaiah 38. Most of us don't know anything about this, but some of you do. But we can all be sure of this one thing. These storms of sickness and loss of health await every one of us. They're there, and they're going to come. The instrument of death is already prepared. That's what Scripture says. Our days are determined, a number of our months are with the Lord. And here, in those days, Isaiah 38, was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. We'll hear this someday. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept with great weeping, is the translation. And Hezekiah wept with great weeping. Well, I've named several storms. I by no means have named them all. Mysterious storms within, dreadful confusion of mind and spirit, of undetermined origin, and then storms of spiritual distress because of wrong desire, unbelief, uncontrolled thoughts, and then attacks from human enemies, and the loss of loved ones, distresses and tempest in the home, between husband and wife, between father, mother, and children, between children and parents, between brothers and sisters, and the storms of sickness and loss of health. But above all, when we talk about storms and tempest, we have to talk about the most fearful one of all. And that's the overflowing scourge of God's eternal wrath, which I trust none of you will ever feel. In the day when men shall cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from God's face. I hope none of us ever have to endure that storm. And we won't, unless we're hiding in a false refuge, because we all have a refuge. We won't unless we're hiding under falsehood, because we all have some kind of hiding place. But any of these storms, any of these, the mysterious storms within or without, in the home, on the job, our personal conflict, any of these storms can destroy us. Somebody asked me just last night when we were talking about a conflict which a dear friend of ours is passing through. They said, how can a Christian, how can a believer come to this depth, to this terrible valley? Well, I can't answer that. I just know that it can be done. And these storms can destroy us if we try to brave them and bear them ourselves. We're going to have a deliverer. We're going to have a refuge. We're going to have a shelter. And that shelter has been provided. Let's read some scripture. First of all, in Isaiah 25. Now, these storms, they're real, and they're going to come. And don't any of you, and this preacher included, feel that you are immune to these storms and tempests, because they're genuine. If a man like David can endure some of the things that he endured, so can I, and so can you. But Isaiah tells us about the shelter. Here in Isaiah 25, verse 4, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." He is our shelter. He is our refuge. Now let's turn to Isaiah 26, verse 20. And the Lord says, "Come, my people," Isaiah 26:20, "enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." There is a hiding place. There is a shelter in the time of storm. Now Isaiah 32, verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. When the hurricane uproots everything about me, when these uncertain winds, even when they blow, when distress comes upon me and I'm unhappy and don't know why, and distressed and don't know why, when the winds of doubt flood my soul, Christ is a hiding place from that wind. Read on. And he's a covert from the tempest. And he is as a river of water in a dry place. When I walk through dry places, parched, famine-infested places, he's my living water. He will quench my burning thirst. When the burning sun parches me, he is a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. How foolish for me to try to stand alone. Our Lord Jesus is called the hiding place from the wind, the covert from the tempest, the river in a dry place, and a shady place in a scorching, burning sun. Spurgeon quoted this hymn one time, and I jotted it down, and I felt that it fitted here real well. "The storm's awful voice was heard, O Christ, it broke on Thee. Thy open bosom was my guard. It braved that storm for me. Thy form was scarred, Thy visage marred. Now, cloudless peace I see. A shelter's of no value unless I hide in it. A hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, is of no value unless I flee to it. And even a great rock in a sun-scorched land is of no benefit unless I hide in it. And the biggest mistake that a man can make when he's going through these tempests and storms and trials, and you will be tempted to do this, so listen to me, because I've seen many people do it. The biggest mistake that a man or woman can make when they're going through these storms and these tempests, whether it be the storm from within of undetermined origin, whether it be doubts of our salvation, whether it be unbelief, whether it be conflicts in the home, whether it be attacks from enemies without, the biggest mistake we can make is to allow these trials to affect our relationship with Christ and to try to go it alone. That's the biggest mistake we can make. But I've seen countless numbers of people do it. They are so faithful to the Word of God and to prayer and to church when things are going well. But when sorrow strikes, or when conflict arises, or when doubts flood their souls, or when temptations overwhelm and overcome them, they desert the people of God. They desert the house of God. When David was going through his greatest trials, what did he do? He said, I went down to the temple. I went down to the house of God to find the answer. When the wind is blowing the hardest, that's when I need to get behind the wall, Christ Jesus. How foolish it would be for me to stand here and brave that awful storm when the wall's right there beside. Get behind it. I must not stand beside the wall and refuse the shelter. I must flee to Christ. And when the storm wind is blowing, Christ is my shelter. He's my hiding place. Why? All right, I want to look back at Isaiah 32, verse 2 again. It says, it talks about the wind, talks about the tempest, talks about the dry place, talks about the weary land. And we know something about some of those things, not a whole lot, but something. And it talks about there is a hiding place from this wind. It talks about there is a covert when this tempest comes upon us. It talks about when we're in the dry, burning desert, that there is some water to quench the thirst. And it talks about when we are in that sun-scorched, weary land, that there is a place to find some shade. And look at verse 2, the first three words. And it's a man. It's a man. A man is the hiding place. A man is the covert. A man is the living water. A man is the great rock that gives you shade. First of all, he is the sympathetic man. We're talking about the man Christ Jesus now. He is a sympathetic man. Turn to Hebrews 2. And now, this is important. And this will encourage you. I don't care how deep the doubt. I don't care how overwhelming the trial, the temptation. I don't care how burning and uncontrolled and unchecked are the thoughts. I don't care what the distress through which you're going. Christ Jesus the Lord was tempted in all points as you are. And He knows you and He knows your trial. And we must not lose sight of the genuine humanity of our Lord. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, Therefore, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He knows your frame is dust. The Lord Jesus is the sympathetic man. You can run to him. You can cling to him because he has been tried and tested and suffered in every way that you possibly could be tried. Now then, if any of you here in this congregation lost a son by death, I think one of the first places you'd come is to me. You'd come to my study. And you'd say, my son's been killed and you've gone through this, so I want you to talk to me. I want you to help me. And I believe I could. Now then, I don't care what your trial or what the storm is or what the tempest. A lot of them where I can't help you. But my Lord can, your Lord can, because he understands, he's been there. And he is the sympathetic man, and he doesn't want you deserting the prayer closet and deserting the house of God because of some trial or conflict. He's sympathetic in every area, and he wants you to come to him. Now turn to Hebrews 4. He not only is the sympathetic man, but he's the representative man. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, he took our nature. He willingly became a man. He willingly became identified with us. He wanted to. The Lord Jesus Christ is not some far-off God who sits and watches his people trod through the mire and the muck and the quicksand of this world, never having experienced it himself and not knowing what they're going through. He'd been down there with them, and he deliberately got down there with them. He knows where they are and what they're suffering. It says in Hebrews 4, verse 15, we have not a high priest which can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we've quoted this verse many times. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. But it's preceded with this verse. The reason you come is because you've got a high priest that's been where you are. And he can be touched with a feeling of your, not your righteousness and your goodness, your infirmities. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, if you need mercy, you come to him. If you need grace, you come to him. He's the representative man. He deliberately, willingly took our nature that he might enter into and understand our trials. He knows what it means to be hated. He knows what it means to be misunderstood. He knows what it means to be harassed. He knows what it means to have people turn against him. He knows what it means to be tested and tried. He knows what it means to suffer. He knows what it means to weep. He knows what it means to hurt. He knows what it means, whatever the infirmity. Then thirdly, he's our refuge because he's the substitutionary man. Now watch this. And I'm going to rebuke myself and you a little bit. Turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. And I'm not talking about something I don't know anything about. I'm talking about something we all know something about. All right, we have these storms. We have these infirmities. They're real. They're genuine. And we have these trials and these afflictions and these temptations, and we have these times when we feel like anything but a child of God. But I want to challenge you. I want to know, why should I bear my sins when Christ has already borne them? I want to know why in the world that I should sit around and mourn over these infirmities when Christ has all said he's already borne them himself and suffered for them. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What in the world? I want to reach out there in infinity somewhere and bring them back. Huh? I just feel like that I've got to despair. You know, I've got to take this burden on me. I've got to take this load on me. Christ's already borne this burden. He's already borne this load. He's already separated my sins from me as far as the east is from the west. And here I reach back and get them and put them on me and say, well, I can't be a child of God. He's the substitutionary man. He hath already borne my sins and borne my transgressions. He's already carried my griefs and sorrows. And what I need to do is quit living in despair and doubt and confusion and fear and go to living in victory. Our victory is Christ. Thanks be to God, He hath given us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. He separated my sins from me. And then He's the ever-living man. Turn to Psalms 27. Why is He the hiding place? He's the ever-living man. We live because He lives. Why should I not defy the infirmities and of death and judgment? Why should I not say, get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, trials. I'm not going to be brought down to this valley of despondency and despair. Because Psalms 27:1, listen, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Why should I fear what men can do unto me? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though wars shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He'll hide me. Now, this is one of the reasons that I get a little bit perturbed with my brethren who are so afraid of political catastrophes and the overthrow of governments and these things. The Scripture tells us that the Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? Scripture tells me that He reigns and He must reign until He puts all His enemies under His feet. And little old puny, scrawny man is not going to upset God's purpose and God's plan. I belong to a higher kingdom. What if this one does fade away? I'm a subject of an eternal kingdom. What if this one is destroyed? He's the ever-living man. And then watch this. He's our hiding place. Turn to Luke 22. Because He is the interceding man. Now listen to this. He's not going to suffer us to bear any trial that is more than we can bear. His grace, He told Paul, is sufficient. These trials are good for us. They take the edge off. They melt the dross away. They purify the gold. They reveal true faith. They're good for us. It's good, David said, that I've been afflicted. The only time it's not good for you is when you let it come between you and your Lord. The only time you'll get in trouble when you're going through distress and trial is when it affects your relationship with Christ. I don't care how deep the valley, it ought to make you look up. I don't care how painful the circumstances, it ought to make you cling to Christ. I don't care how heavy the trial and the sorrow, it ought to make you embrace the Master. That's the purpose of it. And here in Luke 22, verse 31, He said to Simon Peter, Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Now this may be an experience you and I are going to have. But we don't need to despair. We don't need to fear, because the Lord Jesus said, even as powerful a force as Satan is, and though he has desired you, wouldn't that? What if God told you that tonight?
might disturb you, wouldn't it? But Christ adds these words, but I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Bishop Rutherford wrote this. I want to read it in closing. I creep under my Lord's wings in the great storms of life, and the waters cannot reach me. Let fools laugh the fool's laughter. Let them mock me, and let them bid the weeping captive in Babylon to sing one of the songs of Zion. I can sing. Even in my winter storm, I can sing. Even in the day of falling leaves, I can sing. Even in the scorching summer sun, I can sing. I can sing, for my victory is Christ, and He shall never fail. And no created power on earth or hell can mar my Lord's work. And no invisible force can spoil my song. And no trial within or without can destroy my union with Him. For did He not say that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord? And though my heart be keenly aware of my sin, and though my mind endures a conflict over natural evil, and though my eyes often be filled with tears, and though dangers and storms are without and within, thanks be to God, Christ is my victory. And John Newton wrote, content with beholding His face, my all to His pleasure resign. No change of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of His love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove if Jesus had dwelt with me there. May God bless the message to your growth in His glory. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, teach us through Thy Word. How thankful we are for the Word. How thankful that though we have to talk about these storms and trials and these tempests that are within us and about us and upon us, we can turn to this book and we can find comfort. And we can find strength. And we can find the good news of Christ our Lord, who is our hiding place from the wind, our covert from the tempest. And we have tasted and we know that He is the living water in a dry and thirsty land. And He is the shadow where the weary pilgrim can find a place to hide from the burning sun. He can find a place to rest from the scorching sun. He can find the shade, Christ Jesus. And we pray that Thou would teach us tonight as we have studied this together. Let us not forget it, for these trials are here and they're going to stay. And these massive trials are ahead of us. There's some deep water and there's some dark valleys. But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Through Christ our Redeemer. Amen.